I'm going to add this in. Hopefully we catch your dogs in there.
People tell me I have nice feet all the time. Your sister says they could be my moneymaker.
I never thought I would say this, but if you're ever broke, then go sell feet pics.
I mean,
on OnlyFans.
That's what I've been told.
Nothing else, though. Like, nothing else.
I've been told. I mean, I don't know what it is, but apparently...
I'm okay with you selling feet pics, but nothing more.
Okay. Well, I've been told, walking through the airport at security, taking my shoes off by random men, that I have nice feet. So yeah, you know what they're into.
Bro, what's up with that shit? Y'all motherfuckers that like feet and stuff. Weirdos.
Listen, there's a kink for everyone, Jesh. Hey, everybody.
No, you can't do it that soon after I clap. You gotta give it like 3 seconds.
I thought that was 3 seconds.
It was like half a second.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Don't Do Stupid Shit podcast with Jesh and Mom. Jesh was just giving me grief on starting this episode. Apparently, I don't know what I'm doing. So,
as you can tell, she's still kind of a rookie at doing the intro side of things. But
I used to do them. It's like I've lost my mojo.
That's true. You did do a couple, but mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is episode 25 of the Do Not Do Stupid Shit podcast. Once again,
you're articulating.
I'm thinking I'm going to start doing it like that. Instead okay. of the Don't Do Stupid Shit podcast, we're going to come very correct with the Do Not Do Stupid Shit podcast.
Okay, I guess. Whatever you want to do. I'm just along for the ride.
Anyways, in light of some recent events, me and Mom figured we would talk about the end of the world.
Yeah, so we're not here to make light of anything that's happening. So for those of you that have seen episodes in the past... you'll know that I grew up in a very religious environment. So I grew up in a church and a church school, and I spent a lot of time studying, reading the Bible, learning about the Bible, being scared to death by the Bible, and all of the things that go along with that. And in the book of Revelations, there's a whole lot that talks about the end of the world and the prophecies surrounding the end of the world. Now, I'm going to just start it off by saying this. I'm not a Bible literalist. In other words, I don't believe that the Bible, every word in it, is literally true. I believe it's a metaphor. So I believe it's more allegory and stories than it is like the word of God and every word in there is true. And particularly, I would say, about the book of Revelations, for sure. So there's a lot in there that people have broken down and interpreted. And I've 47, I've been here now, you know, quite a while. And I have come through this cycle of the world is ending more times than I can possibly count. With every war, with every skirmish, with everything that happens, people say that it's the end of the world and the prophecies are fulfilling themselves. Now, I will also tell you that they were saying that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago as well. So people it's were true. Claiming that the prophecies were occurring and happening. So it's hard to say, but it is always interesting to me how when something goes awry in Israel, like it is right now,
mm-hmm.
how this conversation resurfaces with a vengeance.
There's such a connection to like other parts of the world and so many people, I feel like when they have something yeah. going on over there, because it's like biblical, you know?
Yeah. And I wonder sometimes though, like if for us, you know, we live in what they deem a Christian society, take that for what you want. But I wonder if we were sitting in another country that believes in a different version of religion versus mm-hmm. Christianity, if they feel the same level of angst around this idea that it's the end of the world, or if this is a predominantly Western European kind of consistent conversation?
That's a good question. I don't know, to be honest. And if I'm being either. Completely honest, I don't consider myself the most well-versed when it comes to some of this.
Yeah.
I mean, you definitely know a lot more than me. Obviously, you know, we're seeing everything that's on the news right now and what's going on over there, and mm-hmm. it's all terrible. I don't know. And if it was the end of the world right now, or we're coming to the end of the world or whatever, fuck it.
Well, there's, like, I mean, let's be honest. What am I going
to do to like stop that?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like,
it is what it is.
That's exactly right. If we're all being honest about it, if the Bible is accurate and the prophecies are fulfilling themselves, guess what, folks? I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but none of us can change that.
It's funny because me and Jada, my sister, we sat for like 2 hours last night talking about this. Yeah.
Okay. Well, and we were
just like trying to like imagine and talk about what God looks like or why we're here. And like, we just got super deep in the conversation. And again, I was just thinking about it. I'm a spiritual person and I have my faith and beliefs. But again, like I said, like, even if that was the case that the world was coming in and like, there's nothing that I could do to fix that or make a difference or change it. And so I think sitting here and like stressing and like overthinking it doesn't benefit me in any form.
Well, see, that's that part of religion that creeps in and reminds people that if they don't have the right answer to this big question of where are you going when this whole thing ends, that there, you know, in Christianity, there's two choices, right? You're going to go to heaven and live inside the pearly gates and have this beautiful existence, or you're going to go to hell and be like burning in the lake of flames with constant torment, right? Okay, well, those are some pretty strong imagery and some pretty strong oppositely opposed ideas. And of course, if you asked anybody, does anybody want to burn in hell for eternity? No, I'd take the pearly gates in my mansion. No, exactly, right? But that's what religion does. So like right now, as the world is coming to an end or these prophecies are being fulfilled, what people are being reminded of is that you better pick the right side.
Right.
Because if you don't pick the right side, what's waiting you is like eternal damnation and like this awful existence. And this is where my belief has changed so much over the years and I go a little sideways with it. I don't buy into that as a literal interpretation because quite frankly, I don't think that's how it works.
I don't either.
But that's where right now this massive push and the fear associated with the end of the world, it's not so much that anybody has control over whether it's happening or not. It's like the message is like, are you right with God? Do you know where you're going to go when it all ends? And that's fear inducing because who actually really knows where we all go when it ends? Nobody that's here.
Yeah. There's not a single person living. Like no human that's going to have that answer or any of these answers, to be honest. Like,
absolutely not.
I mean, when you look at religion and specifically like the Bible and Christianity, like in reality, nobody that's here preaching and like, like it's faith. You're believing that something is there, right? And a lot of people take the Bible for, you know, its literal meaning and every word is fact and is what it is. I don't necessarily personally agree with that. And I have a lot of separate thoughts when it comes to like religion and spirituality and my faith that don't necessarily align with the typical Christian. You know what I mean?
No, you're right.
So I think that we're both kind of in that boat.
Yeah, I think some of that is how you've been raised, right? I definitely am a person that grew up with the very fundamental, dogmatic, charismatic, very like there is one way and you better understand that and you better get it right kind of religion. And now I definitely have gone through this phase of change in my life where I find that there's far more nuance to that conversation. And I actually look at other religions and some people say, oh, well, you would be a universalist then. It's like most things in my life. I don't like labels. So I'm not going to put myself into any one category and say like, oh, well, this is what I am then.
Right.
But what I find is that I draw from a lot of different parts of religious practice in the sense that if something resonates with me, if I feel it here, then I know that's true to who I'm supposed to be and what my belief system is. I don't put that on anybody else, but you know, like there's so many different religions. And like, here's a good example. when I was in Japan and we visited the temples there, you know, part of their religion and process is that you leave like remembrances along the journey to get to the temple. And there's always a hike and a climb involved to get there. And as you go, you're stopping and you're leaving like, and of course, money's always tied into this shit, right? So you buy these little things that you leave along the way and that's what you're supposed to do. But I didn't buy anything. I stopped and I had those remembrances without having to put dollars into it.
Yeah.
But the thing that I loved about that part of their religious way of being is that I think it's a metaphor and it's a beautiful example of like what all of life's journey is. We're all climbing and journeying to this end and we don't know when that is going to be. And along that path, we get the opportunity to leave remembrances and gratefulness and sadness or, you know, all these different parts that are part of life's journey. So that part of their religious practice really resonated with me and I love it. It doesn't mean I'm going to go convert, but it does mean that I take that part of that into my own life and I see how I can apply that in my own journey where I'm on this path and this, you know, this progression towards the end of my life. And I'm choosing to be present in the full thing, knowing that it's not always easy, knowing that it's hard, knowing that there's beautiful moments, sad moments, times of thankfulness, times of repentance, times of all these different things along the way. Okay. The Bible does talk about that to some degree too, but their way of doing it to me felt very relatable.
Yeah. So I want to kind of talk about the Israel situation and Palestine situation a little bit.
Yeah.
And maybe you can educate me.
Oh, God.
Well,
I don't know specifically, that I can try.
So I read somebody was talking about like this peace treaty because of this peace treaty or something along those lines. That's why they believe like that's the end and that's what Revelations talks about. What is the backstory at all of that?
So, oh God, it's been a long time.
If you can just give me like a condensed version of like what you remember, maybe.
Okay. For all the Bible scholars that are going to like watch this, when you get all mad that I get it wrong, I'm just going to tell you to like go figure out your own life.
We're imperfect. We're humans. And we're not going to remember everything perfectly.
I didn't sit and have a study session before coming.
No, we basically just walked through the door and we're like, let's talk about the end of the world. And then just sat down and started recording.
That's how we do it.
So
basically from my recollection, and it's been a long time and I'd have to go dig in, the beginning of the end, so to speak, is when there is a peace agreement in Israel. And so for my entire life, I've watched leaders, world leaders, attempt to get a peace agreement signed between the Palestinians and the Israelites. And in the Bible, that peace agreement marks the beginning of the end of times, essentially.
Who decided that? I don't understand.
Who decided what?
Like, did a peace treaty or a peace agreement is the end of times? Like, why would that be the end of times?
Well, because I think what the Bible also talks about is that there will never be peace there. And so it's this, and again, I'm going to get this wrong. It's probably already wrong. So if you are an expert on this, hey, give us a shout out.
Educate us.
Educate us. In fact, come on the podcast and be a guest. By all means. I haven't sat and studied in. And again, here's the thing about this that's interesting is that you could Google search and you will find incredible historians, religious experts on this subject, and they will all disagree.
Mm.
So there, nobody has the answer. That's
Once
the
again,
point.
Back to that.
And even the scholars, even the ones that are deeply entrenched in studying this and have made it their life's work, don't agree with each other.
So essentially, it's like a right versus wrong thing. Like one side thinks they're right, obviously. The other side thinks they're right. And in the Bible, it says like...
Yeah, so if I'm understanding the long history, and there's a lot more that goes into
it. If this side comes to an agreement with this side, that's the end because they
are. So the area, the region that we're talking about is called Judea, and it's along the shores, and it's been the homeland of the Palestinians. But because the Israelites, which are the Jewish people,
right?
According to the Bible, are God's chosen people, and it's where Jesus was born. They believe that it's the right for them to occupy that land as the Holy Land.
Right.
And so they
both think they're God's people, right? Like the...
Yeah, I mean, and I think ultimately, don't we all?
Right, yeah.
But that's the disagreement, what it is, they both like
we're God's holy people or chosen people, and then the other ones are saying this
is our land. I think ultimately they're saying this is our land, this is our birthright, this is where we've lived.
The Palestinians?
I think
that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
So it's like the Israelites are trying to take the land from the Palestinians.
Well, the Israelites have been there, and it's they call it occupied Palestine because the Israelites are occupying that area of Palestine.
Okay.
And they want them out of it. But with that, what's happened is Israel is its own country, right? It's its own place. And right. they have enacted laws and things that subjugate the Palestinians to harsh things. And it goes both ways, right? And so why America, why so many people are like, we stand with Israel? I think that it's a much broader and deeper argument than what I'm even can possibly touch on here, because again, I am no expert in this. I think what bothers me about all of it is this idea that we can't actually live in peace. And yeah. that we
find a middle ground.
Yeah, that we can't share space with people who believe differently because we're so adamant that what we believe, whatever religion, whatever group you're part of is right, is wrong.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately, if you want to get down to just like the brass tacks, basic, you know, kind of human concept that's taking place there, I think that's it. It's both sides believe they're right and the other is wrong. And therefore, there is no middle ground to be found because they both deem what is theirs to be the priority.
Yeah. And this is such a like tricky topic. I mean, we always choose to talk about tricky stuff, I feel
like.
That's true. And it's mainly because of me. I kind of push it on us to talk about a lot of it.
No, I like it too. I mean,
but it's like, I said it at the beginning. I'm in no place to like, you know, be picking sides or saying I understand anything because I have no fucking clue. Like, I really, all I know
is what I've read and what I've seen on the news.
I don't think we do. That's what I'm not picking a side. Like, I don't know. No, I mean,
that's a pretty controversial position.
To not pick sides?
Yeah, in this controversy, in this situation.
I don't give a fuck. Like, I don't know enough.
I'm not picking sides either, but that's exactly the point.
I'm sure it is controversial. Everything's controversial nowadays, but... Yeah, I've seen a lot about one side saying, oh, these guys are terrorists and they're like, you know, killing us off. And then the other side basically saying like, well, they're like holding us captive and have been like stealing our land for thousands of years, you know?
Well, and it is true that there's been a lot of Israel's been under attack by them. But again, the other side feels like they're also under attack, right? I think that is the hardest part, is that what we can't seem to agree on is the universal idea that whether we agree or disagree with somebody's religious beliefs, we all have a right to live in peace without interference to that. And that's what's difficult about, from my understanding, what's happening there. And that could possibly be because there is so much religious significance within that area. It's holy land, right? In their opinion, it's holy land and it belongs to one group over the other. But that argument lands on both sides equally.
It's so much.
I should be looking
It's so much deeper. You can look it up if you want, but so much deeper. Like, it's not Mexico and the U.S. fighting over Texas.
Right.
You know what I mean? This has some longstanding, significant, you know,
well, if you think about it, it goes to the core of, again, that question of where do we go after this? Yeah. So it really, honestly, the argument comes down to this idea of like the end of the world and these religious beliefs and people hanging on to what they believe is their right and what they believe they deserve or that is inherent to them because of their belief and who they are. And it is... Okay, it is at the core of it a religious war. And that's the craziest part about it again, because I think everybody wants to say that religion preaches peace. And yet here you have a perfect example of where religion has actually done nothing but create conflict. Mm. And this is partly why I'm less of a person anymore that's inclined to position myself with any kind of religion, and more of a person that's inclined to say, like, look, if we all have, so according to religion, if we all have a spiritual center or a part to us that is spiritual, the most important thing would be for each of us to be in tune with that within our own individual life and space. And then treat others with the same kindness and respect around that that we would want to be given.
Right.
And if you could do that, you're eliminating some of that religious conflict, because you're giving a person the ability to be an individual within their own sacred space of what they believe they're here to do, what they believe their religious beliefs line up with. But what you have here is you have Muslims, Christians, Jews, all fighting over the same space, believing that they all equally, it belongs to them. And, you know, again, it's so much bigger than this, so I'm not trying to minimize it, but it's a perfect example of where religion does nothing but create chaos, harm, and peace.
Yeah.
I mean, not peace, but chaos, harm, and, you know,
like conflict.
Conflict, yeah. Exactly.
Let's talk about this. So I think we've talked about this before briefly, but this idea that, like, we can sit here and I can go on Twitter and mm-hmm. see damn near like live war footage, like
body cam
footage and cell phone footage of atrocious things. Right. That is a wild concept. We talked about that with everything in Ukraine. Russia and Ukraine. But the fact that I can just look on my phone and see a video from 10 minutes ago, real time, of men and children in the streets fighting and like shooting each other. And
missiles being launched.
And missiles and buildings being fucking.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, it is crazy, because what it's done is, one of the things that our access to information, so the good and the bad, the yin and the yang, right? Like the positive and negative, is that it can't be fucked with, so to speak, sorry, excuse the language, by people's agendas. So the way we used to, well, it can, we all know the news stations and the cable news stations, how they twist everything. But when you have access to see something with your own eyes, and when you have the ability to listen to people in real time, real people on the streets describing their plight and the situation that they're facing, you're faced with having to come to your own conclusions about what you think is taking place, right, versus being fed a narrative
and being told what to
believe by a news media that has a driven agenda. Mm-hmm. So again, America considers itself a Christian country, whatever the fuck that means. I don't even, can't even go there anymore with that one. But, and because of that, Israel would be the Christian nation, right? In a sense, and that would be the support that is driving that. But that's a narrative that you're being told. And then when you look at the actual human experience that's taking place on the ground between the people there that have nothing to do with the political fight or that religious fight, but yet are directly affected by it, you start to realize who, you have to make some decisions around who's actually driving the conflict.
Right.
Right. Because it, everyone's being given a narrative that supports their position, so to speak.
Think about like this, kind of summing up the same thing, but it's, everybody has the ability to be a journalist now.
No, it's true. You really do. The ability to
journalism
access
is
information.
Like,
yeah.
It's
a real
at
thing.
At its peak right now. Before you, to be a journalist, you had to have like all these press credentials and different stuff. And like you had to work for a big company or this. Like now, independent journalism. I mean, you see it on YouTube videos with people like the stuff I've showed you, like auditing, like, you know, government buildings and different stuff like that, agencies.
There's
like,
still definitely limitations to what you have access to, though, that you would otherwise be able to access. So like
to an extent, but for the most part,
extent, If you're a journalist, you're getting it. Like, say right now, if you actually were a credentialed journalist, you're being led into the war zone area to speak with people face to face on the ground. Right. You and I would not be able to do that as individuals without those credentials.
That's true.
They wouldn't let us into the country right now. Like, you could not go to Israel and they would not let you in. You couldn't be like, I'm an independent journalist. I want to go chat with some people. They'd be like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And that is what's difficult, right? Is that those people are still... Those journalists, as much as they may be true in their intent to gather information, it's being fed through a media that has a lot of agenda. So what is so cool, and I mean cool, and that's probably not the best term, but what is so interesting about the situation we're sitting in today, where everybody has one of these and the ability to record and then broadcast your own information.
It's an iPhone if you're listening.
An iPhone, yeah, sorry. You don't have to be, like, if you are a Palestinian living in that area or an Israelite living in that area and you have an iPhone and access to social media, you can project your own message to people mm-hmm. without it having to filter through a journalist's interview or a media's agenda.
Well, who's that kid that I showed you that music video?
Yeah, the rapper.
Where was that? I don't remember.
Palestine.
That was in Palestine?
He's not an Israelite. He's a Palestinian.
Yeah, so I saw, I showed mom a video recently. It was like from a couple years ago. It's like this 12-year-old kid that's like rapping about like...
The conflict.
The conflict and like how awful it is.
Well, and how he's rapping also, I think, a lot about how the conflict doesn't live within like him and the people on the ground. The majority of people there just want to live in peace. Mm-hmm. The conflict is between the leaders. It's between the governments. It's between the religious heads of state and all the things that are taking place. Yeah. Well, of course, that's the thing, right?
I think in general, to sum up the situation over there, like, it's all just awful.
It is. If you
people are dying, people are getting... I'm not going to say it, but awful things are happening to both sides. And
well, there's a whole nother level of religion out there that I haven't, I know a little bit about and, you know, but was preached against huge when I was growing up, which is not shocking to me. And that would be humanism, right? Humanism mm-hmm. being the idea that humans are the priority here. And, you know, I know there's more to it than that as well, but I grew up in Christianity, right? And that did not coincide with the belief, because if you read the Bible, they believe that the idea of killing and slaughtering people and wars is like a God-given right, because they believe that they're set apart. Mm-hmm. And this is, again, where I go sideways with religion too. If you believe that every person is made in the image of God, in the image of Christ, which is also what the Bible says, then where do we divert to this idea that everyone is made in the image of God, yet if you don't believe the same thing that I do, I have the right to take your life under God's name.
Yeah.
That doesn't line up for me. I cannot marry those two things together the way they've been married in the Bible. And you have to remember that the Bible was written by who? Men. Who then said that it was God's word given to them. So there's nothing more powerful than if I stand here and tell you today what my belief is, and then I assert the fact that that was directly spoken to me by God himself. You're probably going to call me crazy, but back in the day, you would have wondered. You would have said like, well, shit, is she really speaking God's word? That's men's ability to twist and control and manipulate.
Unless God fucking flew down right now in front of me and like told me to my face, you need to do this, I'm not gonna kill anybody over my faith or my beliefs. Like, it,
and guess what, if God is the God that they all say that he is,
I don't think he would come down and tell me to kill anyone.
Well, right, but he would have the ability to come down and tell you if that was the message he wanted to deliver
true,
to you.
True, if that was what he was trying to say, yes.
So,
but
again,
in turn, I don't even believe that. I believe that like he's all loving and like, but I don't think he would come down here and tell me you need to kill all these people because
I agree. No, I totally agree with you. But if that is, if this God is so powerful and that is his message or her message, again, I'm referring to the he pronoun because that's the way we've set up God in this country, whether I agree with it or not. But if that is the all-powerful God that they are serving, where is the clear direction that would support the atrocities that have been taking place for 1,000, you know, for 2,000 years, right?
Yeah.
I'm not, I don't see that. I see men using God's name to support those atrocities.
Yeah.
I see men, you know, excusing their behavior by saying that it's what God wants.
I mean, we see this all the time, though, in so many different forms and ways of like, right. Oh, this is God's word, or God's telling me to do this or that or whatever. And I mean,
it's a very powerful way to manipulate people.
Yeah, a lot of the time it's just bogus and not truth at all.
It's what that person wants.
Yeah, yeah. It's all crazy. It's really sad, too. But I think to sum this episode up, I got one question for you. If the end of the world was tonight and you had 2 hours, or let's say an hour, what are you doing?
If I had 1 hour, and what am I doing?
Yeah, if you had 1 hour right now.
If
you
knew that I had 1 hour.
This was the end of the world and you knew you had 1 hour, what are you doing?
I'm definitely taking a few minutes and I'm calling everybody I love and thanking them for the ride.
Oh, that's so sentimental and just nice. I was going to say I was going to get a beer and sit on the water, but I guess that's where you and me differ.
Well, you could sit on the beer. I mean, you could sit on the water with your beer and make the phone calls all at the same time.
That's true. That's true.
The crazy thing about that is like, if we
I'm
all
too
knew
afraid
that.
That if I started making phone calls, they're going straight to voicemail. And then I'm going to feel even worse about myself.
Like, oh, God, no.
Somebody more important is talking
Leave
to them
a voicemail.
Right now.
Oh, you know what this is reminding me
Leave
of?
A voicemail so what? They can check it when they're fucking dead?
Say what you need to say. You know what this is reminding me of? And we'll end this podcast on this. And maybe Jesh can add the link over this. Jesh sent me a video of a plane crashing. Wasn't that you that sent me the video of the person on the plane crashing?
Oh, yeah.
And rather than calling and saying, yeah.
He started calling all the people that he hated.
That he hated.
He was, oh my God. I'll leave the link in the description because this is actually so funny. But I saw this video and he's like sitting there and all these people are on the plane, like crying and calling their loved ones. And then it just pans over and bro's like, hey, is this Bill from Firestone? Hey, fuck you, bro.
I'm going to come fuck you up. I'm going to be there in 10 minutes. You better be ready for me.
What'd he say? He said something funny.
Everybody's looking at
him. I'm going to come down there and pack you the fuck out, buddy.
Yeah. And everybody's looking at him like, oh my God. And then he's like, why are y'all looking at me like that? He's like, nobody wants to hear your sad goodbyes. And he's like, try to have some fun with it or whatever. And he's like,
call somebody you hate.
Call somebody you hate.
Tell them how much you hate them.
And tell them all. Really leave a message. It's so good.
Actually, that'll be me. I'll be sitting on the beach drinking a beer, calling
all the people you hated.
I'm just kidding.
I'm giving them the what for.
Well, I think that's a wrap. That is episode 25 of the Do Not Do Stupid Shit podcast, hosted by myself, Jesh, and my mom. If you guys enjoyed listening or watching this episode, feel free to drop a like on YouTube, subscribe, of course, or drop a comment. Let us know your thoughts. And as far as if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, go ahead and rate the pod for us. We really appreciate that. We're back to it. So every other week we're dropping an episode. Obviously today we talked about something that's pretty serious and we're not trying to, you know, joke around about what's going on and just be inconsiderate because it's awful.
And unfortunately people are losing their lives over agendas that they have nothing to do with and don't want to even be a part of. And that's the saddest thing. This is how our choices impact each other in real time.
You know what the worst part about this is? How privileged we are right now. We're sitting here making a podcast talking about it.
Sometimes
I think about that. I'm like, damn.
Absolutely. We should think about that. And the reality is that there's always the day in the future that we might find ourselves in those same positions, right? We weren't in New York on 9/11. Like, we didn't have to suffer through that. But everybody's days are numbered. And what you come up against and what you don't is, again, you know, it's that thing we talk about that I talk about with you about the ripple effect of life. I can't do anything about what's happening over there right now. Mm-hmm. And it is a privileged position to be able to sit here and have a conversation around something that feels very far away from me. But ultimately, the conflict that we have been in as humans affects all of us and it will continue.
Well, in reality, actually, now that I think about it, what we're talking about would in turn affect us if the world was ending.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Anyways, we hope you enjoyed, and
we're sending love to all sides of that conflict, to the people that are victims in it, to the ones that are being subject to this constant fight and turmoil who want nothing but peace. We send our love to you.
We will see you guys in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Peace.
Peace.